On the last episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast, we walked through the basics of Facebook advertising, why your ministry should advertise on Facebook, and how to get started. This episode is part two, and we're digging a bit deeper to help you better understand and get the most out of what Facebook ads have to offer. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and our guest for today's program is Alejandro Reyes. Alejandro is the genius behind Church Marketing Labs. He's overseen millions of dollars worth of Facebook ads, both inside of the church and in the business world, and he joins us today to help us take our understanding of Facebook ads to the next level. Alejandro, thanks so much for being with us today.
Super pumped to be here, Dan. Thanks for having me, and thank you for all those that are watching. This is great.
Yeah.
Or listening, excuse me.
Yeah. Well, let's begin by having you share a bit about yourself, your work, and your experience with helping churches.
Yeah, that's great. So, 99, I left college after 2 weeks. It was just a junior college. But I left because I actually wanted to, that's the business world story. But the church story is actually, I left, went to college for 2 weeks, left because I wanted to go into ministry, went to Bible school. And from 99 to 2004, I traveled all over the West Coast speaking to high school assemblies and traveled doing ministry, made no money. And the way to make money, I didn't want to write letters to friends and family because I don't have a big big family. What I ended up doing was I figured out how to make money on the internet. And when I met my wife, I ended up deciding, hey, you know what? I'm going to put ministry on hold and I'm actually going to go into business because she comes from a very conservative, her dad's a farmer family. And so I was like, I got to actually make a little bit of money to support my family. And so I started an agency and I was always passionate about the local church. I feel like part of my, you know, my pulpit or my mission is the marketplace, but I have this strong passion for the local church and want to help the church get ahead when it comes to technology because we're so far behind. I mean, I've been using Facebook ads for almost 10 years and churches are really starting to use it maybe over the last year to 2 years. Yeah. And so for those that are listening right now, you're not that far behind, but I will say that you got to get started. And so I worked for a company called PushPay. It's an online giving app. And what ended up happening was we spent millions of dollars in advertising. And I really start to see the huge opportunity for where churches can start using paid traffic like Facebook. A few years ago, you were able to post something on Facebook and maybe get 10, 20, 30, 40% of people to watch it without paying any ads. But now you actually have to, it's kind of a pay to play platform. They also own Instagram. And I will say this, that it's still an underpriced traffic or marketing channel that your church can utilize. So a couple of years ago, a few years ago, we started this thing called the Church Marketing Summit and just wanted to interview what the top social media people in the church were doing. And so over the last couple of years, we try to put resources together and training for churches to learn how to better use things like Instagram, Facebook ads, email marketing, SEO, all those kind of things. But I've really spent a lot of time and my focus, like you had mentioned, you know, millions of dollars in Facebook ads. That's really where I get passionate about because it levels the playing field for the small church.
Absolutely. And churches are, you know, small churches may not be used to this, but for a long time, churches were used to placing phone book ads or buying billboards. And those are things that you can see in person. And so you feel like, oh, they're out there. A lot of people must be seeing them. But like you were talking about, the cost of return, Facebook really lowers the cost of return and adds a lot of customizable features and targeting that aren't available in things like the phone book and billboards, which is some of what we went over in part one. But since you're a fresh voice with this level of experience, if you had like a 30-second pitch to churches who still have questions after part one, why should they jump in on Facebook ads?
Well, Ezekiel says he sat where they sat. And Jesus' whole ministry was going where people were at. And right now, attention is all in front. I just imagine people with looking, they don't look outward. They look literally 2 inches to their phone. And so all the attention is on social media right now. And so if you want to connect with people and reach the lost, which I'm really passionate about, people that need Jesus, social media and Facebook is the best way to do that. And you can use Facebook ads to find the right type of audience. And we're talking about styles of music. So if you're in a Methodist church or a non-denominational or a covenant church, you can probably find the type of person that would be a perfect fit for your church. So that's why it's so powerful, is the targeting options and the affordability.
Absolutely. Well, and let's go ahead and start with a topic that I broached in part one, but it turns out that you have a different approach to this. And since you have millions of dollars of more ad spends on Facebook than I do, I want to get your perspective on it. We touched a little bit on boosting posts in part one, but sort of my perspective, or what I gleaned from my research, was that that's not always the most effective place to start for churches, but you have a different perspective on this. Why don't you talk to us about your approach to boosting and why you think it can be such an effective strategy for churches?
And I don't want to burst your bubble. I promise not to. This is going to be a friendly conversation, Dan. Yeah. But here's the thing. I've spent millions of dollars in paid traffic. It takes hours upon hours of research, studying, who am I going to target? What's this campaign objective? If you're using the traditional ads manager, it can become very difficult for the average person that has not, that doesn't have experience using ads to set those up. So Facebook has this boost feature that you can actually post something in a matter of 37 seconds, if not shorter, you can actually boost a post, meaning you can share it with three different types of audiences. One, people that like your page, or two, people that are friends of people that like your Facebook page, or three, certain type of targeting. And so it's just an easy way. And so if you are repurposing Sunday sermon content every single day of the week, it becomes very difficult to spend 30 minutes to 2 hours in the ads manager. For a lot of times, smaller churches, the pastor's doing it all. And so it's really difficult for him to do that. And so for me, I'm going, what is an easy way to get your content out there to start building trust with people? So what I say is your sermon content, the weekend services of content, that's where you want to boost, post, and start to build these custom audiences and engagement to your page. And what I say is, when you start to use the ads manager, for me, that is more for events, that is more for different types of church conferences or things of that nature, or special workshops or special worship nights or something, more event-driven. So to me, the ads manager is more event-driven. Boosting posts is for everyday type of content to get it out there.
Well, that's great, because I think when I was doing a lot of my research, I was reading about boosting it in order to reach your current audience. So that's just one of the options, is show it to fans of my page, which is a way to get your reach up amongst people that already know you. But I maybe wasn't as aware of the other options in order to reach people who aren't connected to our church yet. And this should fall in line. We did an episode a while back on repurposing content for use on social media. And so if I'm understanding you right, Alejandro, we can take these things that we're already producing week in and week out, we can repurpose them for social media, which we're already doing if we're following along with what we're learning on this podcast. And you're saying that that becomes really great content to then boost to friends of people who like our page, or maybe even some simple targeting in the geographical area to let people know what's going on a Sunday morning.
100%. That is the exact simple strategy. If you're going, hey, I want to today make it easy for me, Dan, make it easy for Alejandro. If you're creating these assets already, these memes or these text on images or these videos or these quotes or just a regular text post, absolutely a boost is powerful. But I will tell you, about 3 to 5 years ago, boosts were that was just a wasted money. But because of the pixel over the last 2 years has become machine learning, the algorithms have become so sophisticated that allowing Facebook to show your content to your videos, your images to people, Facebook will put it in front of people most likely to engage with it. So Boost a couple years ago, yes, it was bad. But right now, Boost is one of the most thing that a lot of churches are staying away from that I think need to pay attention to and actually use.
And your approach is not to even spend it doesn't take a ton of money to be successful with this boosting strategy, right?
Yeah. You know, I think if you, let's just say you're posting, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're posting a video, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you're posting an image with a quote on it or something like that. I would say take $5 to $10 a day of your budget and put it on. It's $150 to $300 max, and you'll start to see results. Your page will start to grow. People will start to share your content. And you're basically, what you're doing, Dan, is you're kind of building a case to Facebook to say, hey, our page is, we're consistent. We put it in front of the right audience. Can you please do your part and show it to the right people for us? And so that's why a boosting strategy with repurposed content, so glad that you guys went over that, is very powerful.
And if we're creating engaging content that is inspiring likes and shares, mostly shares and comments now as they've sort of rejiggered the timeline and the algorithm, if we're creating engaging content and our boosting is getting it in front of more people who are then engaging with it, won't that then increase our organic reach, the free reach?
100%. The more engagement, so this is why I like asking questions. This is why I like promoting, you know, inspiring content that gets people to want to share. When you start doing that, Facebook's going to put it in front of people, and they're trying to figure out, where do they put this in the feed? That's why I like to, every time I post something, I want to boost it right away, because I heard something like 20 to 30 minutes, Facebook is figuring out, where should we put this in the news feed? When someone logs in on mobile, is it up the top? Is it one of the top three? Or is it way down and no one ever finds it? So you're absolutely right. When you boost this and people start to engage with this content, that's why engaging content is so important. You will start to get more free traffic and engagement from Facebook.
And now when we're boosting, we are paying for showing it to people. So we're paying for impressions or for reach. If we run a traditional ad, we can maybe choose to pay per click. And so whether we're running a boost or whether we're running an ad, when we go into Ads Manager or we look at the stats from the post, Facebook gives us so many numbers and it can really start to tie our brains in knots. What are the maybe one or two pieces of feedback in the analytics that you look at to tell you whether or not it's really reaching an audience, or are you really just looking for engagement?
No, that's a great question. So I'm looking at it based on the campaign objective, and the main campaign objectives I use are typically page post engagements, called post engagement, link clicks, conversions, which is probably not so much so pertinent to this conversation. Sure. And then I've actually stopped using video views. Video views was something that I used to use a lot of for videos. But when you create the campaign objective, if your campaign objective is link clicks, maybe to your website or an event page, Facebook will do its best. This machine learning will do its best to put the ad in front of people most likely to click. If you're doing page post engagement, Facebook will put it in people most likely to like it, share it, or comment on it. And so what I'm finding is if I have a link clicks as my objective, my biggest thing I'm looking at, Dan, is what's the cost per link click compared to how I've done this before. So it's page post engagement. I'm trying to find out what is the cost per page post engagement. And then the last thing I look at is the relevancy score. The relevancy score is basically, is this in front of the right people? Are people engaging with it? And I try to get that over from the average person. If they can get it over 6 or 7, I'd be really, really pumped. And that's basically saying, hey, you are creating content that is appealing to the largest part of your audience.
And the more relevant your ad is and the more clicks it's generating, the less it's going to cost per click. The less relevant, the less effective your ad is, the cost per click is going to go up because they're ending up showing it to more people who then aren't responding. And so generally, I mean, obviously we're just, all of our situations are unique. And so it's impossible for you to give us a, if it's above $1.50 per click or below, you know, if it's above, then turn it off. If it's below, then it's doing great. It's maybe something that we learn over time. Is that, I know that's amorphic answer, but
yeah, but it really does depend. If I'm paying $4 or $5 clicks, that's just pretty high. I like to see clicks anywhere from, like, you know, 50 cents to $2 max. To be honest with you, I mean, if it's like a capital campaign and you're trying to raise money for a school that you're planting in Africa or something of that nature, like, and I know that I'm going to get donors, I don't mind paying a little bit more of a cost per click to get people to my event, because I understand that there's going to be some sort of revenue coming to our big capital campaign. But if it's like pancake, you know, breakfast on Saturday, you know, and I might get like $10 clicks, that's just, it's just crazy. So I like to, I think anything sub $1 is great. And here's the thing to think about. This is why Facebook's business model, Dan, is to keep people there because they sell ads. Guys like marketers like me, we want to put products and services in front of it. So what I tell churches and businesses that we work with is I love doing page post engagement ads because it keeps people on Facebook. And what happens is, and this is maybe a little technical, this is part two, but this is more 201, 301. The great thing about Facebook is now if I wanted to, let's say you create a video for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving and you're promoting your Christmas services and we run some page post engagement, we're getting people to like, we're getting people to share it, we're talking about it, we're keeping people on Facebook. Facebook does not want you to get people to leave. This is why sending people to a website costs a little bit more because Facebook is basically kind of dinging you because they want you to keep people there. So this is why I'm spending most of my budget on keeping people inside of Facebook. And then as people start to engage with content, you can actually go into audiences in the ads manager and you can create an audience. So let's say 50,000 people saw this Christmas, you live in a larger city, 50,000 people saw this promotion, this video of you promoting your Christmas services. You can then actually, let's say December 7th, tell Facebook to create a custom audience on people that watched maybe 50% of that first video. And this new ad will now say it's a link click ad campaign objective and say, hey, I want to tell these people to go to this website so they can RSVP. Here's the thing about that. You are now going to have less cost per click because you've developed some sort of resonance, relevancy, and engagement and trust with people on that first ad that it makes it cheaper on that second ad. So I'm always thinking when I'm asking for something, it's usually on the second ad. I don't like to ask people to click on things and go leave Facebook on the first ad that I do. And that's one thing that, you know, I think is really important to understand is how can I keep people here? A lot of people will go, hey, check out our sermon from last week and go to YouTube or go to our blog on our website and check. No, just upload snippets of that and keep people on Facebook unless you need a big ask. That's when I drive people outside of Facebook. I hope that makes sense.
No, absolutely. We have to think from both the perspective of the people who will be viewing our ads, but we also have to think of the perspective of the channel that we're working through. And it's sort of like if we can keep Facebook happy while also doing what the people on Facebook want to see, obviously things are going to be cheaper and easier. And what you're beginning to talk about is a little bit of retargeting. And so there is a way, like you mentioned, to create an ad that retargets an audience that has already viewed an ad. Is there a simple way for you to describe how to create that audience, or is this something that we should Google and just look for sort of a step-by-step tutorial?
Yeah. So first let's kind of have it make sense for folks. So if you go to Amazon and you leave and then you go to one of your favorite websites, large websites out there to get news or whatever, a lot of times you'll actually see that Amazon Vitamix, and you're like, oh my gosh, they're following me around. What's going on? So what happens is Facebook has this thing called the Facebook Pixel, and you can actually install this on your website. And when someone goes to your website, you can actually, for 6 months, track them throughout the web and on Facebook. More importantly, you could track them on Facebook and serve ads specifically to them. Google allows you to do this as well. And so that's what's very, very powerful. And so in Facebook, the reason it's so powerful is the targeting options. Not only can you target people from demographics, not only psychographics, what are the books that they read, what is the worship music that they like, you can actually target people that have had certain type of engagement within your Facebook page. You can actually target people that are on your email list. You can actually target people that have been to the giving page on your website. And so Facebook allows you to be very focused, hyper laser focused on who you're targeting to put the right marketing messages in front of the right people. And that's the biggest thing about retargeting, Dan, is it allows you to put a message in front of a person for the second, third, or fourth time versus, I mean, you're spending so much work to get people to your website. When they're gone, they're gone. Now Facebook allows you to track them and bring them back into the fold.
Absolutely. And so the Facebook pixel is a small bit of code that when you open up a Facebook ads account, you'll have access to, and you'll paste that into the header of each page of your website. And if that sounds a little intimidating, if you're running a WordPress website, if you're using a more professional theme, like a more high quality theme, they'll likely have a field where you can input your pixel code, or there are WordPress plugins that you can use to install the code. If you're running a website through a service like Squarespace, they make it super easy. They just have a field where you're able to put in your code or your account number. And this loads this data into the header of each page, and it's able to track what these users do on their website. And so, for example, you and I are both part of church communications groups on Facebook and Facebook ads groups. And one of the larger churches was using Facebook ads to encourage people to sign up to volunteer. And so they would have a video ad that basically told the story of how you can change other people's lives through volunteering. And then they had a link to their volunteer page. Well, they have the Facebook pixel installed on their website, so they know who has gone to their website on the volunteer page. They also know who has and has not yet signed up to volunteer. And so through just a couple clicks in the audience creation, they can create an ad targeted at people who went to the volunteer page but then never ended up signing up. And they can run a follow-up ad that basically says, hey, are you still interested in volunteering? And we can do this with events as well. I mean, this is part of the strategy around big days like Christmas and Easter. Is this something that you've seen churches have success with?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did with a church in Sacramento last year. So a church had this massive budget. They're about a 15,000 member church in the California, Sacramento area. They usually spend five figures, like over $35,000 on print mailers to promote. And this year they said, hey, we want to go all in on digital. And so it usually takes them about 3 to 4 weeks to, they have a ticketing system. It's free, but they have a ticketing system. And it usually takes them about 3 to 4 weeks to fill it up with 20,000 people that come to this massive event. And so what ended up happening was we did exactly what I said. It's like we teased, hey guys, we got a massive announcement this year for Christmas. We put that in front of people. The next one, we kept kind of teasing them and kind of took people and only showed it to people that were kind of moving through the funnel, if you were the conveyor belt, if you will. Long story short, we built so much buzz out the moment we announced it. It took us 3 days to sell out 20,000 people to come to this event. They ended up switching venues and said, hey, we're adding 10,000 more seats to this. And that sold out in about 3 hours. So 30,000 people with a fraction of the cost. And here's the thing. I said $5 to $10 a day, $150 to $300 a month. However, if you start looking at like where you're spending money on print, that really doesn't have a massive ROI, or you can't really track it, I would start siphoning budget from some of that, maybe bulletins, maybe for some churches, maybe it's a print budget that you have or a mailer budget that you have. There are ways that you can start to siphon money towards Facebook ads. And so I just got a phone call from them a couple of weeks ago, like, hey, are you sure we only spent this amount of money on Facebook ads? And I'm like, yeah, we did. This stuff really, really does work. And it's because of what you're talking about, that sophistication that Facebook targeting allows you to do.
And the scaling goes both ways. Like, you can scale it up to that large, but this is also something that we can scale down to small churches. You may not be in a large city, but if you do your geographical targeting correctly, if you do your demographic targeting directly, you can scale down that tens of thousands of dollar budget down to maybe a couple hundred dollars for your church. And as long as you are targeting, you know, a realistic field of people and are using Alejandro's strategy of targeting the people who are responding and making sure that you're speaking to people who are still interested, this works on a small budget too.
100%. Yeah, I have story after story of a small church that literally for Easter 2 years ago, 500-600 member church ended up having 1,500 people show up, literally over doubled their attendance and had a parking problem as a result of this. And so it's a good problem to have. but you know, it's those really big events that, you know, you got to put some ideas, some thinking behind it, because and here's the great thing about it is following up with people that have engaged after Easter or Christmas or big events, Facebook's a great way to get people to keep coming back. You have a new sermon, a great way, great strategy to bring people into the fold is if you have a 4-week sermon, you know, really hype up that first sermon, because sometimes, you know, people don't want to come to the third or fourth one. Here's the thing, Dan, people go to church on average 1.7 times a month. So my whole mission is if we can get people to go from 2 times a month to 3 times a month, that is very powerful. I think your volunteers go up, your giving goes up, your church grows, discipleship grows, because people are getting more plugged in. And Facebook ads is right now, and I think it will be for the next 2 to 5 years, it's just a great way. And not to mention, they own Instagram, and Instagram is fantastic kind of for that next generation of millennials and Gen Z coming up. Instagram's a powerful way that you can run Instagram ads right inside of Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. And from that same ads manager, you can create ads. You can even create ads, and then when you've got it all designed, you can choose where to deploy it. And Facebook and Instagram are both options. Yep. And I think I heard fresh off the presses this morning on Buffer's podcast. We're recording this at the beginning of August, but fresh off the presses, Instagram is the only social media platform where the amount of time people are spending on the platform is still increasing and everyone else is getting shorter. So it certainly seems like Instagram is growing and becoming more popular. And if you're familiar with the tools, if you get familiar with the tools in Facebook, they're easily applicable as well. One of the audience options is a lookalike audience. And basically, Facebook explains it this way, that you can choose a group of people, and that might be people who like your page, and then say, create an audience that looks like them. Alejandro, what's your opinion on lookalike audiences? Are they an effective way to reach new people? Or are they kind of too good to be true?
Man, you're giving all the secrets away. This is awesome. No, lookalike audiences are so powerful. So let's just say you have a church of 150 people. I think the average church in America is like anywhere from 75 to 125. So let's just say 125 people. And let's just say over the last several years, you've developed an email list of about 500, 600 people, because people come and go. They give you their email, they leave, they move. The great thing about Facebook is I can actually upload this email list to Facebook. These are people that go to my church. They've actually come in the doors and they've gone to my church. You can tell Facebook, hey, I want you to take these 500 or 600 people on this email list, and I want you to create one profile. I want you to come up with an avatar or a persona. Put all these people into one person. What does that person look like? And what will happen is Facebook will go out there and find people that look like people that go to your church. And so this may be in the millions. And so you want to make sure to make, you know, it's like 15, 20, 5 mile right. radius. But one thing that I do as kind of a hack for that, Dan, is I always make sure if I'm building a lookalike audience, I'm always making sure to add connection and make sure that they are friends of people that go to, that like my page. And the reason that you do that is now when someone that does not go to your church, maybe they've never heard of you and they're scrolling and they see you, the pastor, waving at them and inviting them, they're going to stop because they're going to say, hey, Dan likes this, Alejandro likes this page, and there's already an immediate trust. I see a big problem with a lot of people that are doing lookalikes is they don't add that extra element, and there's just no credibility, and people will just continue to scroll. People have become accustomed to scrolling fast in their feed now. And so that's one way that you can get people to kind of stop in their tracks. Like, oh, a trusted friend of mine likes that page. Let me just watch this real quick. And it might be that thing, that one message, that one idea, that one piece of encouragement, that one quote, that one verse that might make someone's day better. And it doesn't mean they're going to come on a Sunday, but give them some time and continue to communicate them. They'll come back around. Another thing, a capital campaign. Let's say you have a larger church, 500 people, 1,000 people, and we have an email list of maybe 5,000 people, but we have an email list of 700 people that have given over the last 20 years of our church or 5 years of whatever it is. You can actually build a lookalike audience around people that have been givers to your church. And so let's say you're doing a capital campaign to raise money for a school in the Philippines or something like that. Now you can target a video of the progress that you're making in the Philippines and show that to people that are most likely to donate because they're like the people that donate in your church. So there's a lot of really cool things that you can do with lookalike audiences. This is why, like, we've given several different examples of how sophisticated you can get with Facebook.
And I love that extra step of adding in the connections, because you can add so many layers to Facebook audiences to where it actually gets too small and it's no longer effective. But knowing what the most important and key layers are and making sure those are in there, that's so valuable. Well, Alejandro, thank you for your time today. If folks want to follow you and continue to glean from all of your knowledge and experience, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Alejandro Reyes, and then we have a Facebook group called Church Marketing Labs, and it's a free Facebook group to kind of get some inspiration and insights, and we bring on some people to interview. And I got to get you on that podcast. We got to set that up, Dan, to get you on there.
All right,
but hey, this has been amazing. I love all you guys are doing. If you guys have any follow-up questions, please feel free to tweet me.
Well, now, listeners, we want to hear from you. After these last two episodes on Facebook ads, what do you still have questions about? If we wanted to do a part three or a part four at some point down the road, what topics would you want us to cover? You can email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your story or questions on a future episode. And of course, you can use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions you have for the show. We would love to hear from you. Finally, if you found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are share this episode with your friends and colleagues, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're listening on right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.